Is that our intro music?
Yeah.
Are we rolling tape?
We're rolling tape.
Okay. Let's see. This is the intro music to the Saturday night. No. The Jimmy Dome Show.
Yes.
It's the Jimmy Dome Show. Here it is. Almost Friday the 13th.
The 12th.
It's Thursday the 12th. So we're getting this a day ahead of the unlucky day.
Yeah. By the time they listen to this, all the bad stuff's already happened.
That's true. Black cats walking under the ladder. We got EJ here with us today.
Nice to see you guys, America.
Yeah,
it's about time.
Welcome back. Nice to see y'all.
Curtis the attorney.
Hey, it's me.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's my savior.
For an appropriate amount of money, I can get you up. Okay, and that's what my girlfriend used to say, for an appropriate amount of money.
She still says it. It's just not to you.
No, that's right. And engineer Eric.
You got it.
That's right. Which we want to thank you, by the way, for putting up two shows like within 2 days or something.
Whoa, whoa. Hey, man. I was on vacation. Sorry about the delay.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't realize is that the shows have to be mixed.
Well, yeah, kinda.
No, this is all live, one take, man.
Yeah, one take.
And live.
Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin, no problem, man.
Yeah, right. One take. I don't think so. No, I want to say hello. We have a new listener in Romania. Hello, Romania. Do we have any? Does anybody here know how to speak Romanian? No, I don't.
No.
Okay, fine. And we need to respond to a couple of emails we got. We have all Andre right. in London, or not London.
We had fan mail.
We had fan mail.
Andre. What's scary?
I say mighty. He's in the. I believe he's in the UK there.
Oh, one if he's done it by London or somewhere.
We got to respond to his email, and then Susan, of course, writes us because she loves us.
She wanted to show Grok Radio.
That's right. That's right.
Give Grok
Radio.
A spot.
That's right. Yep. So we want to
a
talk.
Plug.
Yeah, plug. That's right. She was a little confused about some of the things we said on the in minimum wage.
Probably our fault.
Well, that's because this is one take. No, it's not. No, let me just finish up a couple things here to answer the emails before we get started. We're going to talk today a little bit about Alito. As long as we don't normally wouldn't
machine
talk.
Gun Sammy
and machine. Well, speaking of machine guns, of course, we also have the local killing here in the Ocala Forest. That's a big news locally. We'll talk about that. Other than that, couple of light notes. But anyway, the point is that on the minimum wage, the thing that maybe I didn't cover was that people don't realize that a wage is simply a price for labor. I mean, it's like a price like anything else. And if the price of, copper or whatever it is goes up, and in a static society, the price of something else has to go down. And same thing with wages. If you raise somebody's wages with the minimum wage, say you pay them $10 an hour or something like that, someplace else, somebody else's wages, or at least if it's not spread out evenly, which it won't be, of course, because it's a lumpy society, somebody else is going to lose their job, essentially. Let me tell you the bottom line on all of this. The thinking was that if you raise the wages, then the price of whatever it is that person is making goes up, and it's kind of a round robin thing. Then the price goes up, and then the next person can't afford that thing, and they need more wages, and it's a snowball effect. Okay, well, not really. The deal is that wages are different from the price of anything else, and the reason is there's an irrational component involved in wages. Even if tomorrow the price of food, refrigerators, computers, and everything was to drop in half, and you were to go to your employees and say, look, you have doubled your standard of living because everything's dropped in half, the price has dropped in half, and so I'm going to lower your wages, they would say no. That you can't do it that way. That it doesn't work that way because there is an emotional element in wages that is not in the price of anything else. So the only way you lower wages, there's only one way to do it, and it's kind of catastrophic, and that is you fire people. You don't reduce their wages by 10%. You reduce them to zero.
And you reduce some people to zero, and you leave the other people at the regular.
That's exactly right.
To get your average, if you have
wealth, then you can distort the market a little bit because you can dispense some of your wealth.
Say that again.
Well, in other words, if I got $100 million in the bank, like Paul Allen or somebody like that,
yeah,
and I'm like gonna say, you know what? I'm not going to like work anymore. I'm
right.
just going to dispense my wealth, out in the market.
Okay, now remember that wealth is wages.
It came to Paul Allen because of wages.
But it also goes out as wages. Again, remember now, money.
That's right. It's going out as wages.
Right.
So I'm going to distort the market a little bit because I'm going to, like, you know, dispense some of my.
Well, no. You know, that's not distorting the market. That is the market. Right. The fact is that if everybody wants an iPod tomorrow, the price goes to $1,000 each. I mean, that's not a distortion. That's called supply and demand. And supply and demand applies to wages.
Of course, the iPod will now drop to a commodity price because the fact that...
there will be competition,
right,
and
exactly,
cheating and
yeah,
everything
yeah,
else.
Well,
Chinese come in there and make their ripoffs.
Law of whatever.
Supply and demand. Look, supply and demand right. works for wages as well as it does for any other product.
Well, and we're talking about, of course, is that as the price of the iPod fluctuates, so does the wage earnings of the workers that create the iPod. And so,
well, hopefully it doesn't always work that way.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
the money is fungible. I mean, it goes everywhere. It's like water or mercury or something. I mean, it goes every place. You know, you don't know where it's going to go. I mean, that's and the,
well, I'm not saying it's a direct proportion or anything. I'm
good.
Just saying that
yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, your point earlier was that there's a relationship between the prices and the wages.
It's always a bidding process. Look, you have to bid for workers, and you have to take them out of whatever they're doing now into what you want to do, and you have to bribe them with the wages. That's what you do. In fact, one of the earliest times of this was interesting. I think we might have mentioned this in a way earlier show, was when Henry Ford was making his turnover was over 100% in his employees because he had broken down the manufacture of Model Ts to literally 1,000 different steps. And what you do is you sit there all day long and you do the same carpal tunnel repetitive thing every single day, tightening nut number 5 on wheel number 4. That's what your job was. Well, you know, even those people back in those days being paid whatever it was, $2 a day or whatever to do
50
that.
$50 an hour. $50 an hour.
Yeah, right.
That was after they got the union.
Yeah.
Well, that was way. So anyway, the point is, he realized what Henry Ford realized was that the turnover was killing him. Even though these were unskilled laborers, the turnover. So he raised the wage to $5 a day. Even the Wall Street Journal came out and said, "You are ruining
to
keep the employee." Right. In fact, the turnover rate at that point dropped to 25 or 30% per annum. Point being that he had to bid up. He had to take away workers from other things that they were either doing or would rather do or something, and he bribed them with money. This is what it does.
And it was free enterprise. It wasn't the government doing this.
That's right. Totally free enterprise. He realized, you know, much different from when they talk about the slave laborers, the sweatshops of Southeast Asia and so forth. Look, those people have a choice, too. They can die or they can go to work at, 10 cents an hour, whatever the hell they are. They're not dying. You know, and I tell you, as more and more things in China become needed, you'll find even in China that the wages will be bid up.
I think we should illuminate the thing about the market that has to do with the minimum wage, tie it directly into the creation of wealth. I mean,
you cannot create wealth by raising the minimum wage.
Well, right.
Well, that's for sure, because you can't pay your bills on minimum wage.
Well, actually, we talked about this last time when you weren't here. One of the things that people don't realize is that in this country, first of all, the people that are getting the minimum wage, there are very few of them that are the sole support for their entire family. A lot of them are teenagers or, kids over here at the university. You know, they might be getting minimum wage, and they're getting it, but it's spending money. But also, in a family of three, figure the minimum wage, if both parents are working,
in a lot of cases, you only have one parent, though. This is
no, not a lot. I don't think so. Not in this society. When you look at the employment figures, you find especially under lower income workers, they have not only two jobs, but both the husband and the wife are working.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, what we're arguing here is libertarian philosophy for minimum wage is that at any one time, since the money supply is static, if you raise wages on any particular group, there's going to be less money
fewer dollars someplace else. It has to be. It is at any instant in time, there's a constant there. That's exactly right. So that's
and even
the,
though
the point is you cannot. It has been. Look, this. I don't want to dwell on this. We want to move on here. But the deal is that Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams, especially, who's an economist at George Mason University, has written extensively on this subject. And it is proven with Aristotelian precision. I mean, it is proven, mind you, that a minimum wage hurts society. In general, it hurts. It may help a couple of people, but generally speaking, when people come out and say raising the minimum wage by a dime or 50 cents or a dollar does not result in any job loss, it's a lie. It is not true. It can't be true. Mathematically, it's impossible. So
it would be the same thing as trying to attempt to say you go down, you want to raise wealth in society? Well, go down to the car store and will raise all the prices on the cars $5,000. And then this will pour money into the car people. And, you know, or you can do this on any product.
That's right. Again, it is a classic case of looking at an identifiable segment and forgetting the broader base that you can't see, right, that is not so obvious. But in the
it's actually
point,
the reverse of wealth creation, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
The
oh,
way
it is.
That wealth is created is, in fact, by somebody doing the same job for less money.
Well, or right, exactly.
A better
that's called
job.
That's called productivity increase. Look, the deal is this: if somebody is working for minimum, let's say $2 an hour, they're worth only $2 an hour. If the alternative is to put this person out of work and on the dole, that is a tremendous decrease in productivity. And you say, well,
overall,
you know, this poor person, he can't survive on $2 or $3 or $4 an hour, so we're going to fire him and get him to zero because the minimum wage is $6.15. So if you're worth $6.14, you're worth zero.
Right. Now, to society.
To society. And except that now you go and get food stamps, help, Medicaid, whatever
that's
the heck
a
it
nice
is.
Negative.
So no, well, the point is, he's going to get paid anyway. He's not going to die. Nobody is going to be dying in this country because of that sort of thing. So that person is going to get the quote, minimum wage either by going to the halfway house or, I mean, I don't know what, not the halfway house, but he's going to, you know, the food, the St. Francis down here and get the food or, you know, a bed, temporary bed. The point is that it's non-monetary wage is what it'll be. If you are surviving, I don't care if you're living in the woods. If you're surviving in this country, you are counting for some wage, some way, shape, or form or another.
Susan, if we didn't quite answer your question, email us a little bit more detail.
So right. Is it, you know, look, let's move on. The point.
Ahead.
Let me just reiterate once again.
What if you strike a gold mine vein in the middle of the Colorado mountains? And then you all have all this gold. I mean, how does that work into the wage situation?
Actually, that works very well, and that's happened twice. Very pointedly, been written around extensively in the United States, not in the United States, but in the world. Once was when the Spaniards found gold and silver, lots of it, in Central and South America.
And emeralds.
That's right. But Spain, for a while, became far and away the wealthiest country in the world.
Right.
They were phenomenally wealthy because they had all this stuff. Now, again, it diffuses out. It actually creates an inflation. And again, another example was the California Gold Rush in 1849. What people don't realize is that breakfast, you know, breakfast in outside of Sutter's Mill or whatever it was, or, you know, in San Francisco or wherever that place was up in that neck of the woods, was, you know, 5 ounces of gold. I mean, seriously, because it was so plentiful.
They had scales out there to weigh it out for you.
Oh no, everything. Yeah. No, that was the whole point. That was exactly the point. The point is that you had a very, because of transportation, because it took, you know, 3 months to get across the country or whatever it was, and yet maybe die. The point is that locally in San Francisco, there was a local inflation as measured in gold.
So
you could still buy for a tenth of an ounce of gold in Boston, you could buy breakfast, but it cost you 5 ounces of gold in San Francisco because it took so long to get the gold. But it does eventually even out. The market evens it out, and it has
pans out.
You strike that gold vein as far as like
you're rich. You're rich again. That is the same thing that happens with inflation when the government prints money. The government, the people right around the government,
let's equate that.
Yeah, okay. You know. Right around for a few days or a few months, the people that actually get the money can go out and buy stuff before the producers realize. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute! I have to replace this refrigerator that I just sold for $500. I have to replace it with one for $700, you know, and it takes a little while to get that done. So when you strike gold, either in inflation by printing money, there is a momentary, and sometimes the distortion can last for a year or, you know, however long.
Who cares?
Who cares, right? But the market will figure it out.
Ultimately, there's no
and so you don't, if you start to institute wage and price controls, again, I don't want to get into this. Walter Williams has talked about this. There's books written on this. It has been proven with Aristotelian, with the mathematical, the Pythagorean theorem has nothing on this. The law of
E equals MC squared.
No, that's E equals MC squared is a theory compared to what, you know, how this stuff is done. No, that's right. So anyway, let's move on. Thank you, Susan. And let me move on real quickly then to what did Andre want to talk
about? The housing tax increase.
Yeah, he thought it was unconscionable that grandma's taxes went up by 1,000%, you know, and he thought it was unconscionable.
This is true.
Yeah, and what's your point?
It I'm is sorry. Unconscionable.
Please, right. please explain it to Andre, because, I mean, this...
Here's the deal, as far as that was concerned. What happened down in St. Petersburg, in their infinite wisdom, the city decided to build a dome, which was going to make money. And this was a sports dome.
Dome.
And so they floated a bond issue to be supported by the taxes, ultimately to be supported by the taxpayers of Pinellas County or whatever it was, and which is where St. Petersburg, Florida is. Now, there was a little minor problem. The dome flunked. It flopped. Nobody used it. Suddenly, the taxpayers are on the hook for millions and millions of dollars, and the city had no choice but to, or the county had no choice but to raise the taxes. So grandma's taxes went from 300 and whatever it was up to 36, about 10 times increase. Over now,
$330
to 3600 US.
$3600 US.
Yeah, now let me tell you what happened was, as a result of this sort of thing, I think we might have mentioned this, they passed a state law here that said if, as long as you live in your place, your taxes could not increase by more than 3% per annum. Now, so they do. Of course, they go up by 3. That's not a maximum. That turns out to be a minimum anymore. But the point is, as soon as you sell the house, suddenly you are stepped up, which of course provides a great incentive for a person to stay where they are, number one, and it provides a disincentive for anybody to buy a house.
Exactly, to stay
out. Because they look at the house and they say, well, here's a house that's $250,000 and the taxes on it are, you know, $3,600. But if I buy this house for $250,000, my taxes are suddenly going to go to $36,000 or whatever the heck it's going to be. And so I think I'll not buy the house. So the point is that it's a distortion in the market because the stupid dome down there.
The dumb dome.
Grandma's
on the street.
Yeah, grandma's on the street. Well, right. Yeah, that's right. Grandma's out, you know, begging, you know,
hooking.
That's right. Grandma's
chicken. And listen, she had a lifetime of paying her taxes on time.
And let me tell you, at 93, she's cheap. So, should we?
Is that $93 or 93 years?
She's 93 years old, and she'll do it for fewer than $93.
Yeah.
So, should we give out her website? No, I guess not. Okay. Grandma does it for nothing.
Yeah, really, okay. It's www.grandmasdoit.com.
Right. All right, what else we got here?
Okay, we're moving on now.
Yep.
That's done. Judge Alito.
Wow, no, Judge Alito just pinched
like
someone.
Judge Alito, he's cool.
Well, the only reason I want to talk, we wouldn't talk about this except that he is big news today for some reason. Big news.
Oh, hearings on Congress.
Have you watched that stuff?
I watched a little bit of it. It's the same grandstanding as it was last time.
Grandstanding.
I've said before the
I don't know about grandstanding. It's standing, but it's stupid.
With Robert, I'm sorry. Talking about? Yeah.
Have you seen Ted Kennedy stand up ever? No, he's not standing. It's
you talk about a fossil.
I heard him beating on Alito yesterday.
Oh my God!
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and he was getting in a fight with the
Spectre.
Chairman too. Yeah,
Spectre.
It was kind of funny.
Oh, funny. I watched bits and pieces of it, and I'll tell
Kennedy
you.
Kennedy attacking Alito?
Oh, it was really
obvious.
Well,
that's the funny part.
No, Kennedy, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it was really obvious that Kennedy had already made up his mind.
Oh, yeah.
To vote against him. And, I mean, he had like written statements already prepared. Like, he was reading the statement that ended his remarks, which said, I was disappointed in the judge's remarks.
Quimby.
Yeah, the judge's remarks were unsatisfactory and disturbing. And I mean, he's reading this as if he wrote that down beforehand.
Right.
I mean,
right
before his responses were. Yeah, and of course the questions. It was the same dumb questions. I said before the value of the questions.
These are we have this locally here too. They're called statement questions.
Right. Yeah, the value of the question is inversely proportional to its length.
And boy, isn't that the truth?
And
Parkinson's
these guys
law.
Get up there and start talking about I see here where you trounced the Constitution in this decision, and this decision. And I see where you are an asshole about these issues. And so, therefore, how would you like to respond to that after my 15-minute question? And
You have 1 second left for answer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see. Right, exactly.
And then it was equally ridiculous on the other side. The Republicans were softballing him, so softball. It was home run derby or something.
I mean,
seriously, it was like,
so, Judge, you've obviously qualified to be president of the world, and you can sleep with my wife tonight as well.
If you would please just touch the table in front of me so that we can come by and touch it after you leave.
That's right. That's right.
You know, my ring.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I see
the halo aura around you.
You know, they should have asked. Exactly.
It was Kennedy making some comments about his membership when he was at Princeton in some the CAP.
Yeah.
That's not
the Civil Air Patrol.
No. And Kennedy was, you know, and when the Republican senator brought up this Kennedy's membership in some private club that didn't allow women until 1969, he's like, oh, that has nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. This is no, totally different subject. My private club has nothing to do with the judgeships.
To sit there and...
Exactly. There was a moment of silence when somebody wanted to say, hey, what about that chick?
Yeah. But Mary Jo Kopechne was not available for comment.
Right, exactly.
No, that's always what people... look. It is really kind of stupid to waste even this free airtime on Kennedy.
Seriously.
I mean, literally, he is such a dinosaur. It is unbelievable. And to watch it is, let me put it there. He's so far off the scale. I don't know how else to put this. We need to talk about somebody that's a little more mainstream, like Chuck Schumer. What's funny is they're calling this guy a liar. I mean, they're calling this.
Oh, you know, exactly. That's
good. They're calling him a liar. I mean,
they are calling him a liar.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And they're judging him. Now, I understand. Don't get me wrong. The Supreme Court, it's an important thing. God, I don't know. It's ants judging the anteater. I don't know what the deal.
Well, he is kind of soft and fuzzy, and he's cute, but he doesn't eat.
No, these guys are so, they couldn't shine his shoes, and to think that they have a gorilla. It reminds me a little bit of the guy that came out here to inspect my house. For when I had the addition put on here, the little inspector that came out here, this guy could have...
Inspector Clouseau?
Yeah, that's right, just about. But, I mean, he was inspecting, and he said, well, I don't like the looks of this vent. It had been done by a professional. Well, I mean, here's a guy that could keep me from a certificate of occupancy, some little wormy guy. I mean, I know he's a family, nice guy, I suppose, and everything. But the power that these guys have, they can... They're nobody. And that's right. No, the power these little guys have, you don't dare offend them because they can sit there and trounce you.
Absolutely. Keep you from being... strip your building permit down.
Oh, yeah.
What didn't you like about the house?
Not enough targets around the house.
Not enough targets around the house.
Not enough signs warning about crazy men with gun around the house.
I thought Alito was doing a pretty good job.
He
didn't do quite as well as Roberts, I thought. He kind of got into the idea of that he didn't have all the information to make certain decisions instead of just sticking with the idea that he was an advocate for a certain position. But, oh well, what are you going to do? I think he'll sail through. He'll be fine.
I don't know about sailing through, but he'll go through. The only little minor problem will be if for some reason the anti-Alito forces happen to see a glimmer of hope that they can stop it, they'll do the filibuster thing, which then will involve what they call the nuclear option.
Man, they can't. They're not going to filibuster him.
You don't think so? Prediction. Prediction from the Curtis.
That's right.
Is no filibuster.
Yeah, his stuff wasn't that harsh about abortion or that harsh about this club. Yeah, he denied even remembering even participating in anything with the club, which Kennedy blew off.
Called him a liar.
Right. I mean, he literally blew that off. Just
The New York Times, of course, the New York Times is anti-Alito. They say that, that he's an extremist. The big thing is it's so funny because here's a guy who's going to be on the court for, 30 years or something. And as far as they're concerned, there's going to be one ruling. One and only one in 30 years.
That's right. They're only going to have one case.
Roe versus Wade. And the idea is that...
Immigration as well. Don't forget there's going to be two cases that come before him.
I'm sorry. None.
Oh.
None of those. No, it's all Roe v. Wade, 24 hours, 24/7. Geraldo Rivera does Roe v. Wade. We're going to have the Roe v. Wade channel on. We have the Roe v. Wade channel.
There's an entire channel of Roe v. Wade.
No, that's going to be it. That's going to be it forever. Yeah, for the next 30 years. You'd think that. And, of course, that will prohibit any woman from ever getting an abortion or terminating. If you take the morning after pill, there's the boom. That's it. Boy, morning after. No abortions, no nothing.
Morning after pill.
That's right. I'm sorry. It weighs a lot.
It weighs 760 grains.
That's right. And it's fast. And I'll tell you something else. Fast acting.
Fast acting.
It's almost immediate.
You want instantaneous relief? Try my fast acting pill. So and then he says he supports the imperial presidency, insensitivity to ordinary Americans' rights. And, of course, the New York Times doubts. The New York Times doubts the honesty. Okay, here's the New York Times. You know what I mean? Think about it. Here's the New York Times who's been involved in, like, nine of the most lying, cheating.
Like almost as credible as National Enquirer.
No, seriously. I expect
it's almost a hot sheet for Men in Black.
That's right. It's a hot sheet. That's right. Hot sheet for Men in Black.
So I mean, you know, this is in 1 year we're talking about.
Well,
the New
one
York
of the
Times.
Things that you do that is interesting, as they as always said, you judge your quality, the worth to society, by the quality of your enemies. And I suppose if the New York Times is one of your enemies, that means you have it made. You're
you
good.
Got it made, man. You got it made. Howard Stern. Right.
That's
so
it.
Alito squishes baby ducks. What else we got?
Okay, yes.
Squishes baby ducks.
That's right. With brains of nuns. Okay, that's
brains of nuns.
That's right. Ripped from the womb.
All right, hey, do you want to mention Abramoff real quick?
Go ahead, yeah.
Abramoff. He is a high-powered lobbyist, which they've just figured out.
Ex-high-powered
lobbyist. He just pled guilty to 4 felonies, and he's getting about 10 years in prison, somewhere between 9 and 11 or something like that.
When you're getting 10 years
in prison, you did something, pretty much. I mean, I've defended lots of people, and most of the guys that I've pled that got 10 years, they did something.
Yeah.
And so
multiple times.
But
multiple,
yeah,
right.
But
this is the time they got caught.
Here's
the
thing, though.
A series of parking violations that he didn't take care of.
Well, I can say this, though. To me, the entire lobbyist situation should be just wide open.
And yeah, I agree. You've hit the nail on the head. This, to me, stinks of the jihad they had against, what's her name? who's the cook lady on, you know?
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Michael Milken, or these guys. You know, they talk about, or scalping. We've talked about scalping before. Look, these are consenting items between consenting adults or whatever you want to talk about.
You can't buy an election.
No.
We've said it
no
before.
No more freedom.
What they don't realize is a real simple rule. This is a granite rule underlying everything, and that is money will find a way. You could make it a shooting on site offense to even hint about taking a gift, giving a bribe, spending money on an election. It was in Roman times during Diocletian and also during the French Revolution. You know, to sell bread above its official price was a death sentence. Literally, guillotine next. Okay, we'll take your bread with you because we're going to chop it at the same time. And so you could make it a death sentence for lobbyists and congressmen. Whatever. I can tell you, even at that, the money will find a way. That is a rule. That is a law. That makes gravity look like a theory.
So long as they're spending trillions of dollars in Congress,
it is
there's going to be at least billions of dollars trying to get that trillions of dollars.
It is the Willie Sutton, the law of Willie Sutton.
Right.
You know, why did you rob banks? Because that's what money is. No, there's no question. $2.5 trillion and going and increasing, you know, dramatically. When I look at this, the Gainesville Sun here, they had noticing the stench, and they talk about 5 things that would fix the system. One is, you know, public financing of elections. Boy, wouldn't that be sweet? That means that you're not allowed to. Public financing means you're going to take taxpayer money, and somebody will decide which candidates get the money.
Right.
Not
some,
me.
Right.
But some
administrator.
Board, an administrator will decide. Well, of course, that's, you know. So I have
nothing,
you know,
corrupt about
so
that.
The decision was made. Yeah, the decision was made, right? So then they want to put an absolute ban. I guess that's a vodka ban on lobbyist finance free trips. They want to put a vodka ban on gifts from lobbyists and lawmakers, and they want to establish an independent, nonpartisan ethics watchdog. Now, how long do you think that's going to stay?
Independent, nonpartisan.
Yeah, that lasts about a nanosecond. They'll be independent and nonpartisan until
they're chosen.
That's right. Until the suitcase, the obligatory briefcase with money shows up.
Yeah, there's no question. You cannot have an independent panel that's going to dish out
by
$3 trillion.
And they continue. And they say
they're selected by
lobbying
a non-partisan
today
independent
is essentially
panel.
Legalized bribery.
And $3 trillion.
Yeah. Anyway, lobbying today is essentially legalized bribery. And what's your point?
Right. We need to become a member. Of that committee.
Well, what they want to do is they, of course, obviously.
Do you have any felonies?
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, I mean,
no, actually, I don't. It was reduced.
Oh, okay.
It was going to be a felony.
Convicted? No, never convicted.
Is that a prerequisite? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just, I, it is, it is
the rule systems.
Exactly.
No, the bottom line is that money will find a way, and it always will. It is ludicrous to think that these people are going pass a law and avoid the market.
We'll have an independent panel to select the independent panel.
That's right. Oh, there's
that
a point.
Independently decide that money is
independent of the trillions of dollars.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Totally independent.
Independent. Yeah.
You know,
we'll find people who don't care about money.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of them are outnumbered. Well, it'll be like reverse engineering. Yeah. What we'll do is here's what we'll do. No, I've got the solution. I have the solution. Jimmy has the solution.
Right, say it, Jimmy.
Okay.
Say it, Jimmy.
What we do is we take some test tube babies.
Uh-huh. Genetically?
Genetically. No, just regular old run-of-the-mill test tube babies.
Right.
And we seal them in a very special environment, like one of those domes, you know, that has the
biodome. Survivor.
Right. And what we do is we just basically, like the island, right?
Right?
And you just feed them and so forth and so on. And so that when they grow up, they have no knowledge of anything. And we put them in a room and we feed them questions through a slot for should Bob Dole be president? And then they get to select.
Bob Dole doesn't need that.
That's right. And
then they're totally independent.
They're
that's
totally
really
independent. They know nothing.
Yeah.
And they know nothing.
They know
nothing.
That's right. It'll take 20 years or so to raise them up to that level, but my point is, or maybe if we do a little acceleration, you know, like in Clone Wars or something. But what we do is basically we raise a race of people that are totally isolated from reality.
And we'll call them liberals.
10 million.
And we call them liberals, right? and that's right. And what we'll do is these
$10 million. You can probably pull it off. So please donate, Jimmy at Jimmy.
No. Yeah, that's right. This is for our new thing. That's right. We always welcome donations
for the good of everybody.
We're trying to save humanity. Right. Think of the children.
Yeah.
Think
of the children. You're going to do it? No. But we possibly could.
That's
so
right.
Please send your money.
And if we get enough, it's never enough. If we get enough, we'll do it.
Right. Yeah, we'll do much, much more than just that.
Okay. We'll even name the children your name if you
donate that's right.
Money.
Just like the star
we'll
thing, you know, you can name your star. For $25, we will name your embryo.
Name your embryo.
And
somehow I think we've covered the lobbyist issue.
You think so?
Wow. All right, let's see what else we got here.
Okay, what else you got? Anything in particular?
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. It's in the sand. Bomb, Iran. They'll be flopping and crying, screaming in the dust. Bomb, Iran.
Okay, Jimmy needs editing procedures on this. Jimmy needs to have. I'm not taking any credit for this. No, this
blame.
This is coming straight out of left field.
No, we could have stepped in it. We could be in for some sort of nuclear optional. I'm going to say
the nuclear option means something over in Iran. We're not talking about when they talk about the nuclear option in the Senate. They're not. Well, maybe. There's a thought. No. No.
Expect a knock on your door, mister.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, fortunately, nobody knows where we are.
North Korea, China, and Iran.
China?
Yeah.
What about China?
Well,
they're messing with Taiwan, man.
Yeah, no.
The deal is, look, as far as, you know, the Israelites, the Israel, as soon as if Iran gets in any trouble, you know, let me tell you, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that, you know, Israel's closer to their nuclear, whatever it is, than the United States is.
Yeah. And of course,
Israel?
We know their missile capacity. They probably have enough to reach Israel.
Dude,
probably not to get over here right now.
Israel's
right.
Fully armed.
Yes, we know that. Yeah. My point is
that's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not,
if Iran kicks up a little bit,
yeah. Well, now the one thing that anybody knows, you know, after of course they went in there, Israel's
nobody's
like,
going to stop the 30-minute nuke.
Yes, we are. We hold up our hand.
How are we going to do that?
We hold up our hand and say stop.
Oh.
No,
we'll pass a law.
Right.
We pass a law. No problem.
I digress.
Not allowed to hurt us.
I understand.
We pass
no
a law.
At all.
They do it all the time. No. My point is this: one of the things that happened is it's been like 20 or 30 years ago that Israel went in and bombed the crap out of one of their nuclear things. Okay, that was like
the 67 war.
No. It was 71. It was either 71 or 81. They went in there and they took out their reactor. Right.
It's going to happen again.
Well,
this year.
Except you know, Iran, no fool. Most of them were trained over here, but the point is that
they buried them with, you know, like miles underground
and
now.
Spread them out all over the place. I mean, yeah. Iran's a pretty good sized country. I mean, it's the size of Texas or something. I mean, they got them all over. So I mean, it's like finding WMDs in Iraq. I mean, good luck
this time. There's going to be WMD, the call for WMD. It's going to be harder for him to make this time, but I can tell you, I'm making a prediction right now. Before this year is out, 2006, Bush will be calling for an invasion of Iran, and the Israelites will probably go and do it.
That's heavy.
Well, no, seriously, though, if they're going to calculate the time it takes for them to enrich some uranium, subtract out the time it takes for us to mobilize our troops, and that's the amount of time that they're going to have.
Okay. Or as far as Israel's concerned, they're going to subtract out the time it takes those whatever they fly, to get over there.
Well, they fly Mirage. Well, they fly F-16s, too.
Yeah, I don't fly any Frenchy planes, I don't think.
No, we give them all their planes.
That's true.
Yeah, they have 15s. Iran
flies the Mirages.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt. I don't know. Or Migs. Okay, so that's...
All right, that's Iran.
Okay, that's Iran. And the anything else? The only other thing that I've got... We talked about the AK-47? The big news. The big news locally here, of course, is the two campers that got shot in the Ocala National Forest by some kid who had just gotten out of juvie in August. Had been there since he was age 12. He's 19 years old. He'd been juvie since he was 12 years old. Took a bus up to the Ocala Forest, which is about 100 miles, 150 miles. Borrowed his cousin's AK-47. That's it. You don't have an AK. That's not an AK.
I want to kill the guy. I want to kill the douchebag kid.
No. You have troubled childhood.
Yeah.
No. Listen. And there's no question about that.
Sorry about your troubled childhood.
No, the deal is that, you know, went up there, walked in, bought a bunch of camping equipment at Walmart. I'm surprised Walmart's probably going to get sued. And guarantee it.
So he told you Walmart was evil.
That's right. Selling this kid camping gear. Yeah. So anyway, walked in there, shot these two innocent, you know, and took calmly, you know, went home. Took a bus, went home, and has gotten ready, getting ready for college when they found him 24 hours later. Good investigation. They found him, whatever it is. My point is, my only question is, within 24, 48 hours, they had him arrested. And basically, he beat a guy. He must have confessed, man.
They must have said something.
I don't think Matlock can get this
guy. Hey, how you doing, Frank? And he said, I didn't shoot him in the back. I shot him right in front of the...
Yeah, right.
I didn't shoot that white man and that white woman in the back and
their campus site.
Aerostar, right.
Right, whatever. The point, the deal is that what I'm flabbergasted about is that the anti-gun forces haven't come out. I'm just blown away. I mean,
give him a day or two.
Well, maybe. I mean, because we're making a prediction right here. We're going to make a prediction. This is the 12th.
Put that gun on trial. Yep.
That's right. There we go. Better go buy them before they pass another.
Interview
law.
Those
right.
other guns.
Absolutely, man.
Okay, so that's the only thing I wanted to mention about this. It's a heinous act, horrible thing. These people totally innocent, you know. And what, you know, you had a friend that almost went with them.
Yeah. Well, I was hanging out with a girl at a bar.
No.
Yeah, that's true. And she was saying how she called him up and said, nah, I'm not going to go this time. She was a member of the same club with them out at the community college. She was like, no thanks.
That's like you miss your airplane or they bump you.
Yeah.
And it goes down. You think, holy gee. That's when you get religion.
Oh, hey, I got two things here. One on religion and one on sentencing here. What you want to do first? I got to do this one first here.
Okay.
345 people were killed in a stampede.
Oh, this is awesome. That's right.
At the Taj, right? Where was it?
It was in Mecca. It was at the stone, the devil.
They were all trying to rush in there. Apparently, you have to stone this tower before sunset.
This is the last day of the Hajj.
That's what not the Taj.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
God. I was going to say, whoa.
What country is this in?
Taj. Well, Mecca.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Yeah, and so here they are. Hundreds of people died just trying to complete their religious worship. I mean, and this is not an uncommon problem. In 2004, 244 people died at the same place in the same stampede. In 1990, 1,426 people died.
Yes.
They're getting better.
This is going to create a vast shortage of virgins.
Well, I don't know if it was...
They don't get 72 virgins
each. No, because they didn't die killing infidel. It's becoming part of the Hajj, you know, the symbolic stampede.
The symbolic.
It's like running the bulls at Pamplona?
Exactly.
That's what it is. And we ought to go. Okay, I wonder if we can
run the pilgrims at home.
Running the pilgrims, yes, exactly.
I'm saying you got
to. What are they get stampeded by? I mean,
themselves.
Themselves. Oh, God. It's like a Who concert.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's like. And they've done things like made the wall a little bit lower so people can throw their stones over a little bit easier and they don't jockey for position so much.
You guys must have seen photos of this stuff. It's amazing. There's this giant mass of people. And it's slowly moving around this black rock that's in the center of this giant courtyard, which is this black
rock. It's like a traffic circle.
It's exactly like a traffic circle. Oh. And it slowly rotates around us, and these people try to, and you try to jock your way into it. So you
this is why I'm against traffic circles here in town.
Exactly.
Roundabouts have no business.
So there's a devil in the traffic circle.
In roundabouts.
That's it.
Proof right here.
That's right.
As well as this is like Arabian mosh pits.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Seriously.
That's closer.
Yeah.
Than a traffic circle. It's an Arabian. There you go. The Saudi mosh pit.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have it
on the
last day of the
herd, man. Let them maul themselves to death.
Well, it's always a Darwinian
thing. They're working on it.
But at least, are you done with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just mention, dovetailing with that, at Santa Fe Community College out here, they're going to have religious fair participants. They have sent out the call for religious diversity fair. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking,
how diverse can you be?
Well, I don't know.
the Jimmy Dunn cult?
Well, that's close enough.
That's good enough for me.
And it's the cult of the election. Rhymes with election, anyway. anyway, any interested religious organizations are invited to display its information and to greet.
Say SFCC if you have a Japanese accent.
To reserve a table and two chairs at no charge, Karl Marx. No, Karl. It's Karl Maddox. It's Karl Maddox.
Oh, my God. That's close enough.
No, it's Carrie. I'm sorry. It's Carrie Maddox.
There's no
way. Anyway, she has her phone number in here.
Give it out.
Okay, it's 381-3787. Anyway, the fair will be in the E Building Breezeway of the Northwest Campus. But my point is, it seems that we need to contact FSM about this.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah, we talked about the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I mean, certainly they ought to be. I wonder if we could dig up a religion by Wednesday. I'm thinking.
Can we get a franchise? That's my question.
We could dig up a corpse by Wednesday.
We
ought to sit at the table.
We ought to pull up a big science table right there. You know.
Oh, that's a big. That's right.
Go down there with. We're a secular religion.
Yeah, secular religion. Yeah, yeah. We believe in.
Sec on this.
We're secular religion. We're succulent as well as the
Okay.
All right. Let's see. We told you before about the fair. The Staten Island ferry that had crashed.
Wait a minute. Who is he married to?
Staten Island ferry.
Oh, the boat. I'm sorry. Right. Made a mistake. Go ahead.
So this, apparently the boat smashed into the docks.
Right. This is a long time. This is last year.
Right, right. Yeah. And 11 people died or something. So they've sentenced the boat driver.
Right.
He gets 18 months prison.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, he was drinking, right?
Well, he was on some sort of painkiller.
Okay, right.
That's right. He was on the drugs.
They also sentenced his manager.
Really?
They gave his manager, the guy who runs the ferry, a criminal sentence.
For what?
Well, good question. Really? Apparently they dovetailed some sort of gross negligence standard in there. He was supposed to have two captains, and he only had one.
Okay. Oh.
And so they blamed him as well, gave him a year in prison.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
If he's supposed to have two and he has one.
Yeah, I mean,
the deal is that guy at least had no intention of having people die or whatever. Now, if you want to,
gross negligence is a thing.
If you want to punish incompetence criminally, you can.
Oh, I see.
But I mean, it should be probably a civil suit. They should be able to sue the ferry for millions of dollars and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
But to punish this guy for his incompetence it's a little bit...
Well, of course,
failing to take care and maintain the standards that were put in place so this kind of accident couldn't happen.
When you say incompetence, of course, maybe it wasn't. Maybe he's not incompetent. He just didn't do it. I mean, it might not have been a question of incompetence. He might have deliberately said, look, I'm going to save a few bucks and not put a second captain on
here
today.
Okay.
I don't know, but my point is that if...
It's New York.
That's right. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. It's in New York, right. So, that's right.
No, he's definitely guilty.
Right.
That's right. We got him.
No,
and he's going away for a year. And he's going to be somebody's bitch.
Because
he'll be somebody's bitch.
The father of LSD turned 100. 100 years old.
Okay, the father, that wasn't Timothy Leary.
No.
He's dead.
Yeah, now he was the guy
who used a lot of it.
Right.
Okay.
He was like the godfather of LSD.
Right, but not
actually the
father. But the father of LSD turned 100?
Yes.
And
Still doing it.
No shit.
Is he really?
Well, no, he still promotes its use for medical purposes.
Right. You know, you understand what the big deal on that was, why he's the, quote, father of that. That allows all of the... You understand that, generally speaking, only amphibians get stuff through their skin, except this stuff that LSD is made of. That's why you have patches and stuff that work on humans.
Well, DMSO is like...
That's what it was, DMSO, right?
Well, no, lysergic acid is LSD, but DMSO is the...
The vehicle.
It's a toxic substance, by the way.
They're all toxic. Water's toxic, for God's
sake. Life is toxic. DMSO
will kill you if you put enough on that, if it's absorbed into your skin.
A knife will kill you if you put enough of it in your skin.
Precisely.
DMSO is a biological solvent. LSD is lysergic acid. Yes, it is a solvent as well. But the fact of the matter is that you can go out here to the feed store in wherever, pick a weaponry and buy DMSO. You can't buy LSD out there.
Shit. Man. That sucks.
Well,
let me ask you a question. So is this the guy who did touch something and suddenly tasted it in his mouth?
He synthesized it off of the wheat mold, and then he took some and he had a great trip the first time. And then,
all right!
And then
realize there's commercial opportunities here.
Well, he was going to use it for medical purposes.
Nobody has denied that.
Well, as Paul McCartney said, it'll open a few doors, but it's not the answer to everything.
They banned it in 1966. And so
didn't take him long, did it?
Well, it was for 30 years or something. He invented it in 1938 or something. Like that.
Okay. What? And he turned 100.
Yeah.
So it must be good for you.
And
happy birthday.
68 years.
Happy birthday, Mr. LSD.
Yeah.
Mr. LSD.
Sorry, I don't have his name here.
Oh, I was going to say.
All right.
Google it.
The new nickels. They've come out with new money
Jefferson's
again.
Jefferson's new nickel.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop the presses.
Awesome.
For about a year or so, I've been seeing the nickels that have Jefferson's head kind of halfway.
Well, now there's a new one.
Right.
A new one. But there's...
Yeah, it's him doing a big line of coke on
that kind of thing,
They
ain't
holding
up a peace sign.
No, he's doing his
peace sign, right?
He's doing his maid.
There is, on one of the nickel backs, there is a peace pipe.
Yeah, that's right.
There is. There is. Now, I've noticed they have several different nickel backs at this point. Now, they've rekindled the buffalo. They've got one with a little nature scene and one with the peace pipe crossed with the hatchet.
We talked about this in one of the very first shows. We wanted...
Or at least Jack Rhodes wanted a new chick.
Jack Rhodes wanted...
Breastfeeding, I think, is what he wanted.
No, he wanted mostly full frontal nude.
He wanted Marilyn Monroe or somebody.
I just want him to stop using the freaking
Marilyn,
every year as a new palette for...
Why?
Because your money, you have to check it every time now. Is that a Canadian nickel or is that a...
Actually, there's something to be said for that. You know, I don't care one way or the other. So, it's change, you know, deal. So, you know, that's... I suppose that you think about it for a second. It's not like smuggling cigarettes. I mean, the Canadians come down here with all their quarters and spend them for quarters. And they might, you know, if they go from Ottawa to Duluth and they might, you know, save $10, you know, big deal. I mean, that's...
It's messing me up, man.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not too worried.
Distorting the economy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay, that's it.
That's done. All I got.
Okay, we're done.
That's all you got?
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to go buy a nickel bag from Jack Abramoff and smoke it with Ted Kennedy.
What about Alito?
Well, he's going to pop by later.
All right, well, we can... Do everything like that.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, I did want to mention one other thing that I didn't talk about was Macworld is going on right now. Of course, you know I'm a big Mac user.
And we got MegaCon coming up.
MegaCon is at the end of February, right? That'll be down south here. But the Macworld, they announced new Macintosh computers, which you're going to run on Intel chips.
Where is Macworld?
Wow.
It was. It is, as we speak, in San Francisco, right outside of Silicon Valley. Steve Jobs. Up there. Anyway, Apple stock has gone up in the past couple of years like 10 times. Could have made some money. Anyway, I'm a big Mac guy, and I'm excited. I want to buy a new computer. I got no money. So anyway, send your donations to Jimmy Doan, Mac Donation, whatever it is, you know, PayPal accepted.
JimmyDoan.com.
That's right.
And thank you so much for the emails.
Yeah,
I
really appreciate it. Yeah.
I really love those. I mean, it inspires us so much.
Well, I love this one where the guy said his wife was in tears laughing at one of our bits.
When the reindeer jumped off the parking garage.
That was great.
And when we talked about throwing a Santa sleigh down there with a blinking nose and having this school bus, you know.
The school bus for the nuns.
Yeah, school bus
nuns
children.
No, the nuns' children. That's right.
Children of the nuns. That was great. Thank you so much for that one. Yeah. We got a good chuckle out of that one again. So listen to us and send us an email.
And don't forget, we can find us on, you can write us a review on iTunes too. Come on, now they've got iTunes now does review.
Well, don't forget to tell your friends and
Thank you.
Other means as well.
We love you guys.